Hello, everyone, and welcome to another race recap analysis here of the Giro d'Italia 2022. Of course, here on stage 20, we saw an absolutely phenomenal win from Alessandro Covi, rescuing somewhat UAE Team Emirates and also taking the team a copy. But that's not what we're going to focus on today. Sorry, Covi. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Critical himself, Mr. Ewan Wilson. And Ewan, the big story, of course, has Jide Hindley won the 2022 Giro d'Italia.
Simply put, yes. Jai Hindley today put in a huge attack. He must have had this in the legs for the past couple of weeks. He's been lurking on the wheel of Carapaz. He's been quite intelligent to not take the jersey and give Bora a reason to control this race. Bora have been a little bit looser with their tactics, and Hindley's just been waiting and waiting and waiting. And today he had his chance to attack on the Passo Fedaya, which is probably one of the hardest climbs of this race, to take back over 1 minute on Carapaz. In terms of tomorrow's time trial, I mean, Hindley should be safe. He has 1 minute and 25 seconds now over Richard Carapaz in second place, and 1 minute and 51 over Mikel Landa in third. So everything's pointing towards a Jai Hindley victory. He showed he has some strength today. He's certainly the strongest rider in this Giro in the mountains, and he's a worthwhile victor. But we do wonder what happened with Carapaz, what happened there. But Hindley was phenomenal. I think from Blockhouse up until now, everything just makes sense. And he will be taking the Trofeo Centofina back home to Western Australia tomorrow in Verona.
Yeah, it was an unusual day in terms of who was driving the pace. We saw Bahrain Victorious doing a lot of the work. Was it going to be Landissimo? Didn't quite happen. Well, it certainly isn't going to be on the cards here. And confusion there. We've seen tactics like this. We've seen pawns being thrown up the road as well in the breakaway. We thought that Novak was going to be used. Didn't happen. Was contesting for the stage as well. But Lena Kemna, he must have been a pivotal role in this stage here for Jide Hindley.
Exactly. I think Kemna was the precursor to the big Hindley move. For Carapaz, who just had Sivakov, Talit, and the whole team really on the front, when Bora was sort of sitting in the wheels, all of a sudden, those two attack, and whoosh, there comes Kemna on the front. It must have been hugely demoralizing for Carapaz to know that Hindley still had one more rider. And it seemed like Kemna, with the work he was doing, he powered off in the front, and it dropped Carapaz there. And then that was the big psychological blow for Carapaz. And I mean, it was a positive for Hindley to know that he could go. He had the green light to attack. He did that and just danced away. And Kemna stayed in Carapaz's wheel almost cruelly for a couple of kilometers as well. So it was absolutely fantastic from Bora. They didn't play it as an Ineos kind of team where you're forced to sort of control it at all points, all aspects, control the final climb. They had Emil Buchmann in top 10 the whole way through the race almost. Kelderman looked super strong as a team leader. He did so much work. What happened in Turin, I think, really just shook up the race to work in Hindley's favor, to sort of distill the big group of favorites down to only a small number. And Bora, I don't think they really could have done anything else at this race. Hindley played a blinder. To be honest, I think he had it in his legs to win this race by more time, but he attacked when he needed it. And Carapaz just looked absolutely shattered by the end of it, proving the strength of Jai Hindley.
Ineos Grenadiers lured them into some sort of false security here, thinking that the tactic that we've seen countless times where they have the strongest rider, Froome, Egan Bernal, etc., and then they can just grind everyone's domestiques to pieces, and then that's it. And it's like, why would you let a Bora rider up the road in the first place? So should they have been a bit more intelligent in the beginning of the stage as well and really have forced the brakes back every time there was a Bora guy here? Or mark them with Ben Tollett, send Ben Tollett up the road to mark the Bora guy.
But then I'm not sure if they knew that Kemna was going to stay there all the way to the end. It's also strange because Domen Novak was also in the breakaway. So two of those three big podium teams had someone up there at the front. So it's strange how Ineos didn't even respond to it at all. Ineos haven't sent anybody in the breakaway this whole Giro, whereas Bahrain and Bora have. But that's not an Ineos thing to do. I think they were too rigid in their tactics for this Giro. They tried to do the old Ineos tactic, and Carapaz made a move. Hindley responded. Hindley made a bigger move, bridged up to Kemna, and that was it, game over. I just think this Hindley was the stronger rider. Bora outplayed Ineos today, and Ineos lost at their own game, which is... Does it mean that Ineos have to restructure in terms of the way that they lead a Grand Tour? maybe because they've been using the same formula for years. But they've lost this Giro. They've lost their streak. And Bora now, a team that we don't traditionally see as a GC team, take their first ever Grand Tour podium and their first ever Grand Tour victory. Well done.
Yeah, it's going to be deja vu almost for Jide Hindley here coming in. Well, not quite coming into Verona. It'll be deja vu for Carapaz with that in his 2019 time trial. Not wearing the Maglia Rosa, of course, but Jide Hindley is going to be wearing the Maglia Rosa for the second time into the final TT in a Giro d'Italia. But it's feeling a lot different than it did in 2020.
Yeah, he's got 1 minute and 25 of an advantage now. In 2020, he had 0 seconds. He was tied on time with Theo Gegenhardt, who on paper was time trialing better than him at the Giro. Yes, Hindley had a slower time than Carapaz in the opening time trial, but it was only a handful of seconds. It's nowhere near 1 minute and 25. This time trial includes an uphill sector. Hindley, of course, looks very good on the uphills. And if I'm honest, he looks like the strongest rider. Sometimes in Grand Tours, all it takes is the strength, really, on a final TT and you're home safe. We saw that last year with the likes of Egan Bernal, Damiano Caruso. They all rode really good time trials in that final TT in Milan. I think we're going to see the same thing here. I think we're going to see Hindley cruise into Verona. He might even have time to celebrate, put his arms in the air. When he enters the arena in Verona, it's going to be quite the sight. And Australia are going to take their first ever Trofeo Centofina.
So true. Cadel Evans tried to win it. Didn't happen. Jide Hindley tried to win it, of course, in 2020. But it's a phenomenal achievement by Jide Hindley, of course, switching to Bora after leaving DSM. And like we've said as well, we didn't know what Bora were going to do after Peter Sagan kind of faded and left the team. And of course, Wilco Kelderman was kind of the start of that last year with the fifth place in the Tour de France. But yeah, this... Have they played the Giro perfectly here? Bora Hansgrohe, two top guys in the top 10, winning the Giro, we presume, as well. So is this the perfection? Are they the team of the Giro this year?
Add in two stage wins with Kemna and Hindley. It looks like it is. Yeah, I feel like this is really the best possible outcome for them. Maybe losing Kelderman early on with that disc brake issue was actually a blessing in disguise. I don't think Kelderman would have ever been as aggressive or bullish as Hindley was. But Hindley, I think, has proved his worth because we weren't sure after 2020 whether he was just a one-tool wonder. I mean, that Giro has been... I mean, read of it what you will. It's not a vintage Giro in terms of the results and the caliber of rides. But Hindley was up there. And last year, he was completely anonymous, as was Theo Gegenhardt from that Giro. And a Hindley moved team this year. He was brave to do so, especially with this whole restructuring effort that's happening at Bora Hansgrohe with Vlasov as well coming to the team. And it's worked for him. He's had a great start to the season, building himself up. And now he proves that he is a Grand Tour contender. He's a Grand Tour champion. And he is a guy you should be looking out for future Grand Tours. He's still young. He's still got plenty more years in his legs. And I mean, what will Bora Hansgrohe do with him in the years to come? What can they possibly do with Kelderman or maybe even Vlasov as well? This team are really, really strong right now. They're firing on all four cylinders. They've already won a stage race this year on the World Tour level with Sergio Higuita as well. So, I mean, sky is the limit for Bora, if you pardon the pun.
Well, speaking of Sky / Ineos Grenadiers, is there anything they could have done in this Giro d'Italia as a whole? Are there stages where Richard Carapaz should have been more aggressive than passive? Because we've talked about this Giro as being a bit more of a slow burn. We did have this distillation of the big favorites, the top three, shining above the rest, if you will. And then should he have attacked a bit more on Blockhouse, or is there any climb where he could have done more, Ineos could have done more, or is it just this was always meant to be, Jide Hindley would always win, there's nothing really Ineos Grenadiers could do about it?
I seriously think Hindley is the strongest rider here. I think the strongest rider won this Giro d'Italia. But in terms of where Carapaz could have done more, Blockhouse, he actually did attack on Blockhouse. His team did a really strong job there. But Hindley, with a steady pace, came back. Hindley didn't make an attack that day. He kept his powder dry and waited for the sprint at the end, and he won that sprint and gained bonus seconds. Hindley, I think psychologically as well, was beating Carapaz, gaining bonus seconds, following on all the time. When Carapaz went on the big attack in Turin, That was also a big key moment of the race after Bora Hansgrohe did most of the work during the day. Hindley didn't necessarily attack to come back. He just slowly and steadily made his way back to Carapaz, stuck with Carapaz, and beat him in the sprint to take the bonus seconds. In terms of the final week that we've seen in Africa, similarly, they just hung on with each other. They both tried, but Hindley, I don't feel like, tried 100%. Carapaz, even yesterday at the Sanctuary, looked really strong at Castelmonte, but couldn't shed Hindley, couldn't gain any extra seconds. So I really do think that Carapaz tried really hard. Hindley followed in the wheels, but Hindley didn't want to invest too much. I don't think he wanted the jersey that early on in this race. If he took the jersey, then I think Bora's wildcard tactics that they've been playing with during this Giro d'Italia would have been up in the air, because you would have had the sort of assumed role of leading this race, and you would have had to guardian the jersey and control the peloton throughout the day. Ineos are used to that. Ineos, I think, were content with doing that. I'm not sure Bora Hansgrohe were. And Jai Hindley has been very sort of cool, calm, and collected throughout this Giro d'Italia. In every interview he's done, he's just seemed very content with his position, despite not being in the pink jersey. On the morning of stage 20, he said, yes, we want the pink jersey here. And he did it seismically, with over 1 minute of a lead now to Carapaz. So I do think Hindley was the strongest rider. Ineos, I don't think, could have done more. I think maybe today they should have been more loose on their tactics. But I don't think Carapaz had the legs in the end to follow Hindley. No one had the legs to follow Hindley, not even Landa.
Yeah, what a stage it was today. What a Giro finish it has been. And of course, we wait the stage tomorrow, stage 21, the conclusion in Verona. So with that, thank you very much for watching up there. So with that, that's it for this video. Make sure to check out our preview of stage 2 up there. Make sure to check out our preview of stage 21, the final time trial. And of course, like the video, subscribe to the channel if you want to keep up to date with all our Giro stuff and post Giro stuff as well, of course. But with that, thank you very much for watching, and we will see you around.